Good morning. But first of all, Ann says, Joan, it's not about me. So keep it short. But as Pastor Ben said, a lot of us know Ann because she considers us her second home. When she's away from her home church, she has some free time. This is where she likes to worship. So I'll tell you that Ann joined CBM 30 years ago this year. She went overseas to Africa. As a missionary, and had to come home after serving a short period of time because she had MS. And she always tells me, Joan, it's not that I had it, I still have it. God has healed me, and each day she still deals with that in some fashion. But many of us who go to Baptist Women at Elam first met Ann in 1988 when she was one of the speakers, and she was in a wheelchair. And she was in a wheelchair for a dozen years. And praise God, I think it's been, 12 years? More than 12 years that she's out of the wheelchair. So we thank God for that. excuse me. She's been with CBM ever since she returned and has served in various capacities with the Sharing Way, with CBM, and currently her present position is church relations. And a lot of churches know CBM by Ann or through Ann because she's the one that visits, one of many people, but visits a lot of churches. She's just come home from being in China 2 weeks ago. Her oldest brother married in China. So that was a new experience. She said first time she's been in a communistic country. So that gives you a little bit about Ann. So we welcome you, Ann.
Well, it's always a pleasure to be here. And I'm glad I can come and help you celebrate on your anniversary. 173 years, that's a long time. I don't know whether there's anybody here that's been married that long, but I doubt that. And I guess as we think of anniversaries, we often consider marriages. And these days, you hardly hear of the long-term ones. It's quite a feat to get to sometimes 30 or 40. Never mind 50 and 60 and onward from that. So this is an anniversary, a celebration that I don't think we should take lightly. But it's something I don't know that we often consider much about either. We come to church week by week by week, but do we ever consider how long the church has actually been here, and not just the physical church, but the witness that it has had in the community that it is part of? And you know, when I was thinking about 173 years, you know, you're older than Confederation. This church was here before we became a nation. That speaks volumes to the people who founded this church and what life and living must have been like all those long years ago. And not only is this church surviving, I believe you're thriving. Any time that I've been part of this congregation, there's certainly always lots happening. And so it's not like you're hanging on by the skin of your teeth, or maybe somebody should put the lock on the door and everybody go home. I don't think you've reached that point. But you need to know that there are a number of churches across the country. Brenda would know. We hear about it in our office, that that's in fact what's happening. Churches are closing down because communities have changed. Perhaps they've moved away and there's not many people left. And so a handful of people to try to keep a work going doesn't make the best sense in the world. So you really need to think about what's going on here because I don't think it's something that just happens. And just to give you a little idea of that, I want to do a little exercise this morning, and I hope you're going to cooperate with me. I might embarrass you a little bit, but please just indulge me for a minute. Those of you who are here this morning and have participated in an overseas mission trip or have participated in a local mission trip where you have gone locally to do something, whether it's down to Brock Street Mission or something with the food bank. I want you to stand up this morning. If there are people in this congregation who have either financially supported these people so they could do whatever they did, or if you have prayed for them so they could do what they did, I want you to stand up. If you're here this morning and you are helping with the youth program in any way, and you're not already on your feet, you join these people, please. If you are on any of the boards or committees that look after the church, whether it's the outreach part of the church, whether it's the details of your finances and property, you can stand up too. If you have come here and are part of the people who keep the church nice and tidy so that when we come in on Sunday morning, or you've cleaned up the flies or something else, you can stand up. If you have ever prayed for the salvation of a loved one or someone that has been a dear friend, would you please stand if you're not already on your feet? Look around.
No, Sunday school.
All right, well, they're probably already down there. But if you're here and you're involved in Sunday school, then you get up too, or the music or whatever else that might go on. If you're not on your feet, please do so. Look around and you can see. Gilmore Baptist Church is not a static organization. You didn't get to 173 years because you didn't do something. Thank you for participating in that, and please be seated. And to the music guy, thank you for the song that you shared. One of the things that it's Keith, isn't it? Thank you. One of the words in that song that you shared, what could you be if God had his way with you? And if you can think of that even in terms of your congregation, what could this church be if all of us together would let God have his way with us individually as well as corporately? And I like what you said. God didn't create us to be stagnant. The people who planted this church 173 years ago for all kinds of reasons are not here now. In a few years from now, the people who are here, it's going to change. It's going to look different. And that has been the tradition all down these 173 years. But the church has not ceased to be. The church continues. And those of us who are part of the church today need to remember that God is counting on us today to keep this a vibrant, going concern, so that when some of these young ones that are downstairs right now, when they become adults, if they're still living in this community, there's still going to be a thriving community of faith here that they can become part of. I want us to look at a few verses from Scripture, a very one that you've often heard of before, I'm sure, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm going to read a few verses from the Message because I love Eugene Peterson, and believe me, he's quite direct, especially in this passage. And this passage is most often used when it comes to sharing our resources, our wealth. But I want us to think of it more than just our finances. I want us to think of it in terms of service to God, as we read these verses. And before I get to verse 6 to 15 in chapter 9, I'm going to read a few from chapter 8. And Paul is here talking to the Corinthian church because he has been really impressed by the Macedonian church, which we don't hear an awful lot about. But he says, it's a few verses from chapter 8, and then I'll get to chapter 9. I'm not trying to order you around against your will, But by bringing in the Macedonians' enthusiasm as a stimulus to your love, I am hoping to bring the best out of you. So he's using the example of the Macedonians, hoping it's going to influence the Corinthians. And that's what these verses are directed around. So it would be nice to use the example of Gilmore and its enthusiasm to encourage some other churches as I travel that maybe not are as outgoing and as demonstrating God's grace and God's goodness as perhaps this church is and hopefully will continue to do. He goes on and he says, you are familiar with the generosity of our Master Jesus Christ. Rich as he was, he gave it all away for us in one stroke to become poor, and we became rich. So here's what I think, and this is Paul speaking. The best thing you can do right now is to finish what you started last year and not let those good intentions grow stale. Well, maybe your good intentions didn't start last year. Maybe they are a few years old. But Paul is saying, keep on going. Don't stop. And then let's go over to chapter 9 at verse 6. A stingy planter gets a stingy crop. A lavish planter gets a lavish crop. Paul, you know about that. I want each of you to take plenty of time and think it over and make up your own mind what you will give. And again, he's talking about finances, but think broader than that. Yes, it is finances, but it's also your service. That will protect you against sob stories and arm twisting. God loves it when the giver delights in the giving. God can pour on the blessings in astonishing ways so that you're ready for anything and everything, more than just ready to do what needs to be done. One psalmist puts it, he throws caution to the wind, giving to the needy in reckless abandon. His right living, right giving ways never run out, never wear out. This most generous God who gives seed to the farmer that becomes bread for your meals is more extravagant with you. He gives you something that you can then give away, which grows into full-formed lives, robust in God, wealthy in every way, so that you can be generous in every way, producing with us great praise to God. What a wonderful passage that is. And I don't know, it just sends tingles up and down my spine as I think about what God has done for us, so extremely generous in giving us his son. And then how do we turn around and not pay back God, but how do we show our thanks and our praise in return for what God has done for us? Let's just bow in a word of prayer. Lord, I pray that as we consider this morning what it means to have been this congregation for 173 years, by your grace and your goodness, we still go on. And Lord, I pray that as we look at your word, that you will teach us this morning and show us what it is that you have for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, and as we think about what you've been part of in terms of ministry in this church, as well as in the community around the world, where are you right now in following God's call? Those of you who have been involved, you have met people that you will never forget. Their lives have been intertwined with yours, sometimes for a short period of time, and sometimes for longer. And some of those people have probably helped change you. You've laughed and you've cried with the people that you worked alongside when you participated in their lives for a while. And if you were honest, you probably feel that you received a whole lot more from them than you gave. But you know, in God's uniqueness, he's managed to bless you in ways that only eternity will ever show. The key is on this. You followed God where he was leading. And the neat thing is, you reaped the blessing. And now your whole church reaps that blessing. When we honor God, he gives back so much more than we can ever ask or think. And another neat thing in it all is, you know, sometimes people on the outside see the difference and recognize that something is going on. Sometimes when we participate in mission and ministry, we get a little more than what we bargained for. Ministry can be painful. You can experience heartbreak and rejoicing all at the same time. And sometimes you do things you never even dreamed of. And God uses you in spite of yourself sometimes. And I'm sure that some of you could say, I wished I was anywhere but where I happened to be when you were involved in some kinds of ministry. And I'm sure you also saw things and heard things that you wished you never saw or that you never heard. But you did, and you were faithful. Many people are not often there when ministry gets hard, and they don't know the half. But God does, and he was there, and he uses us in spite. And again, you were obedient and you were faithful to God's calling. 2 Corinthians says, remember, a stingy planter gets a stingy crop. Paul, I bet if you went out with a handful of seed and expected to plant a whole place that's as big as inside here, the crop wouldn't be much. And that's with our service, as well as with our resources. When we give God just a little bit, how do we expect God to bless us or to see his work prosper and grow in this community? I think God wants to stretch us. And the only way that we grow as Christians is to be stretched. You know, when everything kind of goes along as it always has, we don't often see God doing a whole lot. Well, it's because it's easy. And we really haven't put our hard work to the test yet. We get caught up with the status quo. Or we look to the next person. Well, they're not doing anything, so I guess I won't either. Or, well, it's always so-and-so, they can do it. They don't need my help. You know, all of us need to be involved when it comes to the work of the local church, when it comes to ministry beyond the local church. It takes all of us. It's not just one or two to do it. And status quo, well, anybody can live status quo. And I hope that after looking at this church being here for 173 years, I don't think some people in your history settled for status quo. Because if they did, I don't think this church would be here. And I don't think it would have been the shining light in the community that God would have wanted it to be. So someone in your history, and some of you are sitting here, has worked hard to see that God's word remained firm and foremost, and that ministry happened, and that people's lives were challenged. And thus we have a congregation here this morning. So where do we go from here? We can look back, celebrate those 173 years, which you need to do. You can look at what's going on today. But what about the years to come? What challenge is there going to be for the people who are left to carry on? What's next in the life and ministry of Gilmore Baptist Church? Do you want Gilmore to celebrate another 10 years. I don't know, you maybe you'll celebrate 173 years. I won't be here to see it, and I don't expect you will either. And maybe it still will be here. But what about the next 10, the next 20, the next 50? The more outward focused we become as believers and as faith communities, the more likely this congregation or some semblance of it will be here if the Lord tarries. I've been working with your mission committee, and today we have a little suggestion that we want to plant and that maybe you will think of over the next few weeks to carry you on. A plan that fits very well within your existing mission budget. Together we have an opportunity for Gilmore's participation in global mission through a program at CBM that's called STEP. STEP is an acronym for Serving, Training, Energizing Partnerships. The STEP initiative would allow Gilmore to have a strategic focus with CBM in Bolivia. The STEP program supports CBM's field staff and its national staff, sharing way initiatives, and leadership development in Bolivia. And it will also allow your church over the next 3 years to see God at work through this partnership. STEP is a commitment of learning, listening, and developing a relationship with both CBM and the people you will partner with in Bolivia. We North Americans are all about doing when it comes to mission. And I know I have been part of and I have observed any of our short-term mission teams going out under CBM. Almost the first question they ask is, what will we do? You know, the biggest part of any short-term mission experience is not what we can do. It's what we can learn. And just to be there and encourage the local church partner that you are visiting in whatever country that it is, for them means volumes. And I remember on some of my own short-term mission trips, the partners that I was working alongside would often say, once they got to know me, "And what's wrong with these Canadians? All they want to do is work and do something." They said, "You know, we have people here who can work and do whatever needs doing, but we need them just to walk alongside us, because their very presence here tells us far more than what they can do. It tells us that we mean something to them." And that speaks volumes when we live as we live every day. So to have a Canadian come and spend time with us, to listen to us, to learn from us, means so much more than I could ever explain. And one of our Rwandan partners said it the best when they signed an agreement of partnership, not with a church, but with CBM. It was back in the early 2000s. And they said, "This means more to us than you will ever know." And one of our folks said, "Well, explain that. What do you mean?" If we had had a group that cared something about us back in 1994, you would never have allowed the genocide to happen, because you have just told us you care about us and you want to enter into our lives. If you had done this back then, that genocide probably never would have happened. Well, that lays an awful lot of responsibility on a partner. And whether or not that would have happened or not, but it said, it spoke volumes. That's what partnership means to them. That's what coming alongside And being present in their country means to the partners that we work with overseas, it's not what we can bring, it's not about our money, it's not about our knowledge, it's about getting to know someone and really experiencing them for who they are and what God wants to have happen in all of that. Your mission committee has been working alongside the mission committee of Park Street Baptist Church as well, so that if you thought you might want to enter into this, it would be a joint partnership. You and Park Street together participating in the STEP program with CBM and the country of Bolivia. That sounds pretty exciting to me. A partnership that you can have right here with another Baptist church that a lot of their folks are a lot older than you. Again, I think there's a lot of things that you can share back and forth. God has blessed you in numerous ways. And as Eugene Peterson says, pour out yourselves in reckless abandon, and He will honor you and use you as you participate with Him in kingdom building. Are you ready for that? Relationship is always challenging, and those of you who are here as husband and wife know all about that. And does it always go smoothly? Well, I can't speak because I've never been married, but you can answer that. There are two sides to partnership, and what we're suggesting, there's going to be four sides, because you've got two churches, you've got an organization, and you've got a Bolivia. So, four-way partnership. But you know, relationship is what it's all about when we build God's kingdom together. It's not going to happen by just saying, you know, people are welcome to come here and worship and be part of us. No. If people are going to enter your door or the door of my church in Mississauga or any other church's door, it's going to be because they know someone. They have a relationship with someone, and that might inspire them to come. Relationship will challenge all of us, and it will break our hearts at times. It will also bring us joy unspeakable. It will satisfy. And it will frustrate. It will cause us to grow in some wonderful ways if we will let it. And it will cost you. It'll cost you money. It'll cost you time and energy. Relationship doesn't just happen. You know that. But you will be able to enter into people's lives in very meaningful ways every day. And you will be forever changed if you will allow that. Are you ready for that? Will you walk the path that Jesus laid down and throw caution to the wind, as Peterson says? Will you be that individual or that church that Paul speaks of in 2 Corinthians, that when you plant, you will reap a lavish crop? Will this church be the people that God's hand rests on, and that the community around here is going to recognize that God has done something here in an amazing way? Will you commit to being the missional church God desires, so that Gilmore will stand here to celebrate many more anniversaries to come? My prayer for this church is that you will move forward to be that missional church, acting both globally as well as locally to help bring God's kingdom, to further advance it here in this area. And I understand you're going through the book of Acts, and Paul teaches that all through Acts. The early church. We wouldn't be here today if those early apostles hadn't gone and done what they did. And now it's up to us to carry that torch forward. It's not going to be easy. God never said it would be. But what he did say, I will not leave you nor forsake you. I will give you what you need as you go forward. Do we believe that? Do we trust God enough to step out in faith and move and not be content with status quo? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for what you've done in this community for over 173 years, for the faithfulness of people who saw fit to be here to extend your ministry forward so that today this church is here. Father, I pray that you will continue to inspire and encourage and move all of us out of our complacent, comfortable seats and move us out into our world to bring your kingdom, to show your love, to be more involved in your ministry. Lord, I pray that you will work in each of our hearts. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.